Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. Amen. You guys can hear me okay this morning? All right. Amen. We are in Joshua 20 this morning. A particular chapter is called the City of Refuge. That could have a lot of different meanings for a lot of different people. But, you know, God's so good. You know, let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this is the day that you have made, Father God, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray, oh Father, that you will speak to us through your word, let it be you and not me, Father. I thank you in advance, Father God, for all the beautiful things that you have done for us throughout this week, Father God, and I just thank you for what's coming ahead, my Lord. I thank you, Father God, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, you know, I need to stretch it out a little bit. Oh, so good. It's so good. Joshua chapter 20. It's not a very long chapter, at least this time around. So let us begin. Chapter 20 of Joshua. The Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourself cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of these cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case to the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation of judgment and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled." So they appoint Kadesh of Galilee in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kokesh of Abba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah, and on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assign Bezer in the wilderness on the plains, and of the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth of Galaad in the tribe of Gad, and Garland of Bethlehem from the tribe of Manish. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, for the stranger who dwelt among them, that whoever killed a person accidentally may flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Amen and amen. That's right. Stretch if you need to. Well, this particular city of cities of refuge that they're talking about is God's way of always making a provision. God's way of always making a way, you know, that we can turn to. It goes right back to the law that was given in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. The word says, you shall not murder. And if you did, death awaits you. That was the price of murder. In other words, if you kill somebody, you were going to die. And in Exodus 21, verses 12 to 14, he says, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. Surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, in other words, he didn't jump this guy just because, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint to you a place where you may flee, a way out from the situation that you're in. But if a man acts, you know, with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar. Look what I say, you shall take him from my altar, you know, like he could be one of the leaders too in the temple, that he may die. So the payment to killing somebody was death, pretty much, was death. You know, there was no way out. But God, in his mercy, he's always making a way for us. He's always providing for us. And then we go into Numbers 35, which talks a little bit more about this when he talked to Moses. And the Lord says right here in chapter 35 of Numbers, verse 9 through 15, he says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross over Jordan into the land of Canaan, that you shall appoint cities of refuge. So cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills a person accidentally may flee. So God is bringing to their attention, remember what I did over here. Remember when I spoke to Moses, this is something that you need to do. And these should be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation of judgment. So God was making a way for even a murderer to have a trial, especially if he was not intentionally done, which is the key word here. So because of God's mercy and because of God's provision, you know, he didn't want nobody else to die, you know, beforehand. He didn't want this guy to die because, you know, if the guy didn't kill him on purpose and it was an accident, and then the avenger, which is the person who is declaring payment from the life that was taken, you know, blood's going to be against him. Because he killed somebody that was innocent. He killed somebody that didn't intentionally kill the other guy. So God was trying to bring clarity to this. So here is when we jump into chapter 20 here. It says that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Again, the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he was reminding him. And he says, speak to the children of Israel about the cities of refuge that I spoke through Moses, reminding them. You know, I already said this to you guys once upon a time. Now I'm reminding you that, you know, of this for the cities. And it says that the slayer who kills a person, again, accidentally or unintentionally, may flee the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood was basically the person who was stepping up for the family of the guy that was killed. So in other words, if somebody died in my family, I would be the one that would say, you know what, that was my brother, that was my father, whatever. I seek revenge. So I become the avenger of blood. I become that one that's seeking to kill, you know. And he said, so that was the closest relative. So once you go out looking for these guys to kill them, you know, death is going to be in somebody's hand. And it goes right into verse 4. It says, and when he flees, so if somebody kills somebody, they can flee to one of these cities. And when he flees to these cities and stands before the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case before the altar. So he had to get to one of these cities. So these cities were not really that far away. They were just miles away from each other. Because God's provision is always perfect. God always makes a way for us, and he made a way for them that they will have the opportunity to go into one of these cities for protection or to have their case heard. Because if he didn't run away, then the Avenger of Blood, the individual, can come and kill them, you know, and kill them for payment of the life that was taken. So it was rough back then. I just thank God that it's not that way anymore, you know, that we are under grace now, you know. So here this city's become a protection for this individual, for his case to be heard. And it goes into verse 5. It says, then if the avenger of blood will pursue him, you know, they shall not deliver him. So in other words, when you go to the cities and you plead your case to the elders, so you have to physically go over there. You have to physically say, hey, this happened. This guy was killed. I didn't mean it. You know, can you protect me? And they will receive him, and they will take him in, you know, and they will provide for him. They will provide for him. Again, that's just, again, showing you mercy and compassion. And that's what God is all about. God is all about showing mercy and compassion, you know, and that's what he was doing here. In verse 6, it says, and he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation. So our hearing will be presented, and he'll go before this congregation, and then whatever verdict they'll give him, if he's innocent, then he will remain in that city. And he will remain in that city until the high priest at that time dies. So you go for refuge into one of these cities, you're going to have it, but there's a consequence. You got to remain there. You got to stay there. You got to stay there for that protection, you know, and the city will provide that for you. So he had to do a couple of things. You know, you have to run to one of these cities if you were the murderer. You have to stand before the congregation, you know, and you had to remain there unto the high priest. And that just takes me back into the word consequences, you know. A lot of times, you know, we have to deal with consequences for our actions. You know, if you don't pay the bill, and God forbid you don't pay your electric bill, the lights go off one day, the AC is not running because you have no electricity. Guess what? Those are consequences because you didn't pay the bill. You didn't pay the bill. That goes with anything. If you don't register your vehicle on time, if you don't have that documents with you and the cops pull you over for whatever reason, guess what? You're going to get a ticket. You're going to get a ticket for not having proper documentation. Those are consequences. So a lot of times our actions have consequences, but I just thank God that when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we present our case before God and we say, Lord, forgive me. The word of God says that he washes us from all our sins. He cleanses us. He makes us whole again. He forgives us. He restores us. He gives us life again. And that is the most beautiful thing, that we have a God that we can turn to at any given time. And for any given reason, we can go to him and say, Lord, here it is. Lord, I'm going through something. I'm going through a crisis. And you know what? And when we do that, the Lord hears us. The Lord hears us and the Lord restores. So, but again, this particular chapter is a very small chapter. I mean, it's not really a lot of material here, but it does have a lot of material of how God's provision for his people is always there. How this, but you know, it only has 9 verses, right? But then, you know, when you look at it, I looked at this, and it just took me back, you know, into the book of Exodus, into the book of Numbers, talking about the city of refuge. It just shows you the importance that it is for the Lord. the importance that God has for us, for his people, that he was always making a way for us to turn to him, a way for us to be forgiven, a way for us to have that life that he has provided for us. And again, the biggest thing here that I get off of all this, that there are always consequences for our actions. But if God is in the middle of it, if we welcome him to the middle of our circumstances, he will help us. He will give us a strength to endure. He will give us direction. He will give us peace that surpasses all understanding, that in the middle of a crisis, we can still worship him and we can still say, Lord, I thank you because you are with me. I thank you because you have never left me. I thank you because you have never forsaken me. And that is God's best for us. That is the best thing that we can have, is the presence of the Lord. And this city of refuge that they're talking about, well, you are protected by the Lord. He is our refuge. He is our strong tower. He is the one that we turn to no matter what is going on. We can turn to him and he hears us and he restores us and he makes us be free again. And again, that is so important for us to understand that the Lord has come to set us free from all the bondages around us. It says in John 8:36, it says, therefore, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. Come on now. Sometimes we need to hear that, because sometimes we're going through some struggles. We're going through some storms that we do not understand. And we find ourselves that we are bound by something, or there's something there. But you got to understand that he who the Son has set free, you are free indeed. And because he has made a way for you, he has made a way for me. And that is why I am so grateful to the Lord that I can go to him. He is our refuge. He is our protector. He is the one that's going to help us in any and every situation that we find ourselves in today. He is our source. He is our source, and strength. In Isaiah 43:19, you know, it's such a good verse. You know, he says, behold, I do a new thing. Now I see it spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers, in the desert. That verse is so powerful because he goes into, I'm going to do a new thing. Who doesn't want God to do a new thing? I think every single one of us would love the Lord to do a new thing, you know. But he said, behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. It shall spring forth. What is it that the Lord has spoke to you about? What is it that the Lord has shared with you and told you about? Maybe somebody in your family, maybe about yourself, maybe about a ministry, maybe about direction that God wants you to take. And sometimes, you know, we don't see it. We don't see it because, you know, our vision is not that clear. But for God, it's always clear. And God says that I am doing it for you. Whatever it is that God has told you, he is doing it. I'm believing in promises that the Lord shared with me years ago, you know, and they haven't materialized yet, but I'm seeing them. I'm starting to see them in the spirit. God is revealing them to me in the spirit, and he's giving me little glimpse of reminders. And I get so excited because he said, Lord, I thank you that even though I've forgotten those promises, even though I've forgotten, you have not forgotten them, you know. So he's reminding me, and I'm getting excited about what God is about to do. and what God's about to do in my life, because he's reminded me of dreams and visions that I had when I was a lot younger that he shared with me, but I'm beginning to see them in the spirit. That means that God is making a way. He's making a way. And it doesn't matter what it looks like, because here the word, and again, in Isaiah 43, 19, I will even make a road in the wilderness. Wilderness is a place that nobody wants to be in it. There's no sense of direction in the wilderness, you know? But he says that he will make a way. He will make a road in the wilderness. He will make a way for us. So therefore, I don't need to fear, because who's in control? He is. He's making a way for you. He's making a way for me. I may not understand what's going on, but he has control of it. And therefore, I don't need to be in control. All I got to do is just raise my hands and praise him as I walk along that road, because he is making a way. He is making a provision for us. And he says that he will even create rivers in the desert. So if you are in a dry place, if you feel that you are in a dry place, guess what? Get ready, because rivers are about to flow. Rivers are about to flow. Your breakthrough is closer than what you think. Your breakthrough is closer than what you can imagine. Now is not the time to regress. Now is not the time to pull back. Now is the time for us to accelerate forward, to move forward, because now our blessing is right in front of us. Our blessings are right in front of us. And that's a word for a few of you here this morning, that your blessing is so close that he's making a way for you, so close that he's going to provide for you, so close that the enemy is doing everything within his power to stop you from obtaining it. But the word of God clearly says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. So therefore, if God has called you, if God is making a way for you, if God is providing for you, it is just enough for us to say, Lord, I praise you. I just want to praise you for the breakthrough. I want to praise you for what you're doing. I want to thank you, Father, for making a way where there is no way, for being my provider, being my strength. And above all that, my brothers and sisters, you know, I was thinking just the other day, you know, where's the joy of the Lord? Where's the joy of the Lord? We need to have more of the joy of the Lord. The scripture says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, joy of the Lord. Joy means being happy, being content, you know. And sometimes, you know, we go through stuff, and guess what? Our spirit is down. Everything is down. We don't understand. But you know what? If he is for us, who can be against us? And we need to start just declaring the joy of the Lord, you know, to praising him, even when we don't feel it, because it's not about feelings. This is not about feelings. This is about faith in God. This is about trusting him. And you know what? And if I challenge you, you know, when you go to church on Sunday, when you spend your time with the Lord, raise up those hands and praise him. Raise up those hands and glorify him and worship him and with all your heart, you know, and say, Lord, I thank you. I may not understand it. And believe me, sometimes I don't understand anything. You know, I go through the storm sometimes and it just blows me away. And I say like, oh my God, oh my God. But then I have to compose myself. I got to take a break. I got to say, okay, time out. Sometimes you just got to call that time out and say, okay, let me get myself together. It's not all that. It's not as difficult as it seems. God is in control, you know, because we forget sometimes. And I'm saying it for me. I forget sometimes. Who's supposed to be in control? Because we sometimes want to be in control. We want to manipulate. We want to move this and we want to get this. I can do this. If I do this. And God is telling us, hold on. Who's in control? You know, who's driving this car? Is it you or is it me? You know? You know, and sometimes, you know, we got to pull back and say, no, Father, forgive me for thinking that I am bigger than you. Come on now. Forgive me that I'm thinking that I know more than you. You know, but he knows it all. He has it all. And we got to just praise him. And we just got to glorify him and allow that joy that he has given us to just rise up within our spirit, that joy of thanksgiving, that joy of praise, that joy of worship. Because yeah, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of you looking for a place of refuge, you can find joy in the presence of God. You can find hope in his presence. You can find love in his presence. You can find compassion in his presence. And just that enough is enough for us to just worship him. Worship him and praise him and give him the glory and give him the honor. Because you know what? He is waiting for our praise. The Lord is moved by our worship. The Lord is moved by us speaking to him and just declaring to him who he is. You know, and I just want to worship God this morning and thank him for all that he has done. Hey, you know my story. You know my situation with my wife and how God has the miraculous have come through, you know, and she's in recovery and in healing and getting stronger in the Lord, you know, and we're not there yet, but guess what? I see it already. And I'm looking at Eric. Eric has a nice picture behind him of the beach, you know, and I look at that and I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Eric, for that picture, because that's reminding me of the vision that I have for my wife. She wants to walk the beach. She wants to walk by the beach, you know, walk the boardwalk and see the water and hear the waves. And I told her by before the summer's up, me and you are going to be there walking, you know, because you got to speak it out. You know, the word of God says you have not because you ask for not. And the Lord says, believe those things that are not as they are already. In Hebrews 11. So I got to speak it out. I got to speak it out that, yes, me and my wife are going to be walking right there, right behind Eric, right there in that beach right there, enjoying the sand between our toes. Come on now. Yeah, I'm getting out of topic. But you know what? I got to speak it forth, because if you don't speak it forth, you're not even going to have it. So I'm declaring and I'm decreeing and I'm speaking it out. I'm giving it life for it can manifest itself. Hey, come on now. See, I get excited because that's what the Lord is. I think I should probably just woke up my wife. I'm talking too loud here in this room, you know, but, you know, God is so good. God is so wonderful. God is so merciful, and he wants the best for you, and he wants the best for me, and he's making a way. Our refuge is in him. Our comfort is in him. Our hope is in him. He makes a way where there is no way. So whatever it is that we may be going through today, know that you have one that stands by you that says, I am here. I am that I am. And I am here for you. You know, and the Lord wraps himself around us and he holds us. You know, so if you need a hug from the Lord, just rub. I said this before, just grab yourself and just say, Lord, I thank you for your hug. I thank you for your embrace, because, you know, these are supposed to be his hands extended on this planet. You are his mouthpiece. You are his voice. You are his hands. And sometimes you need to be the one that goes out there and hug somebody else and say, the Lord loves you. And sometimes people don't understand how to take that. But you know what? You got to demonstrate that love. You got to show that love. And why? It's what I call transferring. I want to transfer some of the peace that I have. I want to transfer some of the joy. That's all the anointing of God. That's just the presence of God, because each and every single one of us has the presence of God. We have Jesus in our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit that fills us, you know, and he said, if he's for us, who can be against us? And therefore, when I go and I pray for people and I hug people, I'm just embracing them in the love of God. And guess what? And then whatever the Lord has given me, I just release it unto them, you know, and that's what we need to be doing. We need to be standing and get ready and be, you know, we're talking about this refuge, you know, a city of refuge. Sometimes you could be that city of refuge, because you could be that voice that they need to hear, that voice that's going to speak life, that voice that's going to speak mercy, that voice that's going to speak healing and restoration. And you speak it out over them, you know, upon them, and, you know, and you declare and you decree, and guess what? Life is taking place. God is moving. So my brothers and sisters, I know I said a lot. I always do. But you know, God is the main thing. Jesus Christ, what he did for you and me, that he made a way that today we can be free, that today we are under his protection, that today that he is our refuge. He is our comfort. He is our hope, you know, and he's making a way for each and every single one of us. So today, whatever it is that you're going through, surrender it to God. Give it up to him. Surrender, say, there it is, Lord. You know, I get tired carrying the same baggage everywhere I go to. I don't know about you guys, but if I have to carry the same bag up and down my staircase here and up the door and then bring it back in, that gets heavy. You know, it's time for us to just say, Lord, here, I surrender it to you, Lord. I'm giving it to you, Father. And that's what I did. That's what I did in my home. That's what I did for my children. That's what I did with my wife. And when I least expected, look at the miracle of God. Look at the miracle of God of receiving a transplant from my wife. Look at what God is doing. And I can still, and I see his hand at work every single day, the healing, the process that we're going through. It's wonderful to see that. And when I think about it, when I think about life and I think about what the Lord has done for us, what he has given up for us, what Jesus gave up, you know, so that we can have life today. You know, it is all about him. To him be the glory, to him be the honor, to him be the praise. And as we take a moment and we worship him, you know, and praise him, you're actually releasing all your burdens upon him and saying, Lord, there it is. Lord, there it is. So today, whatever it is that you need, he's right there. He's right there. His hands are extended and he says, I am here for you. He's your refuge. He's your city of refuge. Amen. And amen. Well, I love you guys. Please, please keep your focus, keep your focus, keep your focus. You know, let's press on. Whatever God is speaking unto you, do not be afraid to walk in it. Do not be afraid to share it. I know sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes I feel the same way. You think I like to talk a lot? I don't like to talk. I'm normally a quiet guy, okay? I'm normally a very quiet guy. You know, you come to my house, I'll be the guy in the corner, you know, and I won't be saying a word. I'm the quietest person. But when God gives me something to say, guess what? I can talk, but normally that's not who I am. So I thank God that he gives me that I can share his love and his compassion, his mercy. And I'm only sharing it because I experience it. I have experienced his love, his compassion, his mercy. And I like to do, I like to just share and transfer it on, pass it on, pass on what God has given you, pass on his love, pass on his compassion. Somebody may just need a hug from you today. And you're saying, well, how can I hug somebody when I need a hug? You know what? When you take a step of faith and you hug somebody and you yourself need a hug, that's when your blessing is going to come. Because you're stretching yourself. You're stretching, getting yourself out of your comfort zone. So today, get out of your comfort zone. Let's do something new. Let's do something different. And let's just praise God. Let's just worship Him. And let's just be obedient to Him. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just praise you and worship you. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Father. I pray that you would just fill them with your grace, with your mercy, Father God, that you would just reveal to them, Father God, what they need to see, Father. You are the giver of life, Father. And through you, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible for you, Father. So, Lord, we thank you in advance. We praise you in advance for the breakthrough, for the healing, for the restoration, Father, for meeting their needs according to your riches and glory, Father. Let them not be lacking anything, Father, but that they will have more than enough, Father God. I just thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I thank you in advance for what you're doing, and we praise you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen. All right, guys, I love you, love you, love you. Keep your focus, keep your focus. Soon, I'll be getting out there. I know EHT, you guys have been wanting me to stop by there. I'm going to try very, really, really hard. I'm going to try really hard to step out there. Well, God bless you, and hopefully we'll see each other soon. God bless.